A.K. Scott will punt it for the Chargers. Kicks it very high. And the ball loose. Muffed. Loose at the 30. Falling on it at the 27. It looked like the Chargers got the muff. The snap. Ball put down. Kick is away. End over end. It's good. It's good. The Chargers have won. And they have never led until now. And the pain so excruciating that Hopkins, after the game-winning kick, falls to the turf, holding onto his leg, but he's won it.
Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry, served by Applebee's.
A muff punt. And then a game-winning field goal, courtesy of our friends at Westwood One Radio. That was the call you heard. It is noon on a Tuesday on Peacock, but of course it is 5 o'clock somewhere. He's Jay Croucher, and I'm Matthew Berry. Welcome into the Fantasy Football Happy Hour, served by Applebee's, Jay Croucher. I don't know if it's proudly served by Applebee's. It's just at the moment it's served by Applebee's. We've asked Applebee's, hey, would you like to say it's proudly served by you, like exclusively served by you?
Just
and then
served.
I said, no, served.
Served.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I feel like it's sort of like one of those things. Well, you know, Applebee's, you know, anyone, they welcome all guests.
Yes.
So, that, you know, no judgment. Whoever walks through the doors, they'll serve you a home-cooked meal there at Applebee's. And I sort of feel like that's the same thing with us. They're just sort of like, we're not going to judge.
No.
You know, we've, yeah.
I feel like it's the same thing with Monday Night Football at the moment as well, where, Monday Night Football, it serves the NFL, maybe not proudly at the moment. Another rough primetime game last night. Chargers beat the Broncos 19-16 in overtime. Again, the Broncos becoming the kings of serving up free football that no one wants.
And they've got a lot more primetime games coming up.
Yeah.
Standalone games.
Sunday Night Football against Kansas City. I think we are shipping them off to London soon, though. And now you look on screen at the notable fantasy results. Notable meant ironically, I think, because it was really just Austin Ekeler. Josh Palmer had a good game. Russell Wilson looked good for a half. And then Justin Herbert, who is kind of the story in a way, he is just not putting up stats at the moment.
Yeah, certainly he is not. Look, a lot of people say, like, wow, I didn't get my Monday Night Miracle last night. But I disagree. I think there were a lot of Monday Night Miracles last night if you were facing Mike Williams or Cortland Sutton or even Justin Herbert. And you, like, I was up 7 in a match and I was done. And my opponent had Cortland Sutton.
Yeah.
7 points in a PPR. This is a 16-team PPR league, and I'm up 7 in a in this, and I'm down, you know, and like literally the we play on the, this league's on ESPN, and ESPN gave me like a 98% chance to lose.
Yeah,
because I mean, Cortland Sutton, 7 points, that's nothing. That's Jeez. You know, that's 3 for 40.
Yeah,
it's nothing anyway. And what do you know? 3.4 fantasy points. Who's looking smart and has two thumbs? This guy.
Yeah. Really
and
just
not smart, but lucky. I got lucky last night. So a lot of Monday Night Miracles if you were facing any of these players because they did not perform. Look, Austin Ekeler showed up, Jay, and I don't know that there's much more to say other than thank you, Austin Ekeler.
Yeah, thanks, Austin. Yeah, RB1 right now in fantasy. I think going forward, it's probably between him and Saquon if you're redrafting. And he just continues to deliver. It wasn't the most exciting last night, but he just accumulates stats. His receiving work gives him such a high floor where he is right now, the best player in fantasy. As you can see, you know, in terms of his RB ranks this season, leads the league in targets, leads the league in receptions, second in receiving yards, and that's where all the value is coming at the moment.
Tied for second in total touchdowns with 6 after not scoring any in the first 3 games. He's got 6 over the last 3 games, 66% of the offensive snaps. He had 16 targets in this game. Like, the Broncos, such a good defense. They were giving Herbert anything downfield, so just a lot of dump-offs to Austin Ekeler, one of the most fantasy-friendly NFL players in the league, and he will be joining the Happy Hour next week. So the definitive Austin Ekeler interview coming next week to the Fantasy Football Happy Hour. We'll be excited to talk to him. Let's talk about Herbert and the pass catchers here. No Keenan Allen in this game. Broncos are the best pass defense in the NFL. They're allowing just one touchdown per game. I sort of feel like you kind of chalk this up to tough matchup is what it is.
Tough matchup, and I think the absence of Keenan Allen is just magnified by going against Pat Surtain, who is the best cornerback in the NFL right now, arguably.
Yeah.
Yesterday we talked about Mike Williams is under receiving yards. He didn't even sniff that 68.5. Pat Surtain put the clamps on him. And with no Keenan Allen, basically no Mike Williams because of the Sertan treatment. It became the Josh Palmer show, basically, a little bit of Gerald Everett. But I think that Keenan Allen should come back next week, and I think it should be a more explosive passing offense after that, which will obviously help Justin Herbert.
Palmer 9 for 57 on 12 targets in this one. And if you're sitting here, you're worried about Justin Herbert, you're worried about Mike Williams, here's what I can tell you, and I can tell you very simply. Next week they play Seattle.
Yeah.
There you go. They play Seattle. And I get it, Seattle shut down Arizona. It was a disappointing game, but there's been one game where the Seahawks have played decent defense. I'm not ready to buy the Seahawks' sudden resurgence. No, they have a nice corner. Like, they've found some pieces on defense. You know, they're not a disaster, and they're getting better, but certainly at home to the Seahawks next week, I'm still starting Justin Herbert as a top 10 play. He'll come in low in my top 10, but he'll still be a QB1 this week. And Mike Williams, again, he has six games this year. Three with 110 or more yards, three with under 20 yards. This is what you get with Mike Williams. We talked about this top of the year. We just said Mike Williams is just, he's one of those very inconsistent players. It'll be up and down, up and down. You'll never be able to pick which games to start him or sit him. You just have to start Mike Williams, let it fly, and at the end of the year, he's going to wind up as like wide receiver 16.
Yep.
The points will be there. We did think that this would not be a great game for him, however. He made the hate list this week. Yesterday, you took the under on his receiving yards prop, which hit, like, magnificently. Like, you had, like, 50 yards to spare.
I was sweating a 61-yard bomb in overtime, which would have knocked the over, and he did almost catch a very deep pass. Not quite 61 yards, but, yeah, you just have to start Mike Williams. He's trick or treat. You have to live with the consequences. You might not be starting Russell Wilson. And a lot of people, I think, have already given up on Russell Wilson. He is the biggest story, again, because he's in prime time every single week, it feels like. And I think the whole idea about him going to Denver was that he was going to get the chef's hat. It was going to be Russ's kitchen at last. But right now, the kitchen is burning. And in the first half, he looked a little bit like Russell Wilson. And then in the second half, it just completely fell apart.
Yeah, you know, what's weird is like, as bad as this game was, he finishes his QB15 in week number 6 for the season. He's 20th in points per game. You know, the 15 total yards in the second half in overtime at the Chargers, just 1.5 yards per attempt in the second half. That's the worst of his career. What's weird is that before you look at the stats, I would have just said to the eye test, Russell Wilson actually looked better last night.
For sure.
Like, however, like, he was making some plays. He was extending plays with his legs. He made some timely runs as well. Like, he looked, I thought last night, in totality, even including the second half where he struggled, I thought Russell Wilson looked the closest to what we imagine Russell Wilson to be, what we remember Russell Wilson to be, than he has all season long, even in some of the wins.
Yeah, I think it's, you take the first half of that game, the last drive against San Francisco. Russell Wilson is still in there, but he's just, at the moment, he is just so broken. I think that the big thing for me with Russ is that, you know, normally when he was pressured in the pocket in his prime, you just expected he would get out of it because he's Russell Wilson. Such amazing awareness, the speed. And then in the second half last night and for much of the season, whenever he feels pressure, it just feels like he's going to get sacked or he's just going to throw the ball away too soon. He just has no comfort in this offense right now. None of the weapons are performing either, but he still is producing at an acceptable fantasy rate.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, like, I think, right. We've said this previously, and my guess is that if you drafted Russell Wilson as your only fantasy quarterback this year, you've already moved on.
Yeah.
Whether it's to Jared Goff or Geno Smith, worth checking to see in your waiver wire as we'll get into the quarterbacks this later in the show. But it's worth noting, like, hey, seeing, like, hey, did someone drop Jared Goff because of the bye week? Is Dak Prescott out there? I've actually seen Dak Prescott out there in a few leagues. We expect Dak Prescott to be back this week. And so, you don't want Russell Wilson as your only starting quarterback. I think in the right matchup, maybe, like, there were signs of life last night, but not enough for me to feel, like, confident. Because the Chargers coming into that game were like a bottom 12 pass defense.
Yeah, and we thought that the Chargers, particularly after the first couple of weeks, would be a top 5 defense. Yeah. Now, no Joey Bosa. J.C. Jackson, who's got $40 million guaranteed from the offseason, got benched last night.
Yeah.
If he was playing in New England right now, he wouldn't be starting based on the level he's at. And he's not starting in L.A. either. So I think that kind of maximizes how bad last night's performance was relatively, that he couldn't do anything. But I do think the upcoming schedule for the Broncos, home to the Jets, Jacksonville bye at Tennessee. Now, the Jets aren't the pushover that they might have been at
one point. Yeah, don't insult my Jets.
Yeah, my New York Jets. The Sauce Gardner is out.
My New York Jets.
You're
a bandwagon
Jaguars.
Guy.
Yeah.
I never doubted them.
I've always been on the Jets bandwagon. No, they're not a pushover. The Jets are absolutely not a pushover, but they're also not a defense that you would be scared of. Having said that, there's nothing that we've seen in the previous production of Russell Wilson. He'll be outside my top 10, well outside my top 10 when my ranks come out later this week. Let's move on here. Jerry Jeudy shouldn't be starting here. Cortland Sutton, I'm just chalking it up to a bad game. He's been mostly productive with Russell Wilson, even bad Russell Wilson. You certainly like him against the Jets and the Jags moving forward. And then finally, the only other thing that I thought was interesting here on the – there's two other things to talk about with the Broncos, right? I think it's the backfield and the tight end situation. Let's start with the backfield here.
Yep.
Where Melvin Gordon –
yeah, he
got benched.
Yes, he got benched. And so it was the Latavius Murray show with 15 carries for Murray. But all of a sudden, this Broncos situation, we're coming into the season, you know, in terms of clarity, you would expect that an injury to one of Javonte Williams or Melvin Gordon would create that clarity. No, it's gone the other way, where the injury to Javonte Williams has made it more muddled than ever.
My friend J.J. Zachariasen had a great tweet, was saying, let me get this, some version of, like, let me get this straight. Like, Melvin Gordon was good enough to steal touches from Javonte Williams, but not good enough to take touches away from Latavius Murray. Latavius Murray, who was on the Saints 2 weeks ago, comes in and plays 27 offensive snaps. Mike Boone plays 21. Melvin Gordon just 9. Murray, 15 rush attempts for 66 yards. He catches the one target that he got for just minus 2 yards. But Boone also not really involved in the passing game that much. He did get the 4 targets there, but 1 reception for 3 yards. So, but 27 snaps for Boone, 27 snaps for Murray, 21 snaps for Boone. It was pretty delineated, right? 15 rushing attempts for Murray, 1 rushing attempt for Mike Boone. Mike Boone gets the 4 targets. Murray only gets the 1 target. It's like, okay, first and second down, it's Latavius Murray. Third down, it's Mike Boone. It sort of settled into that. Melvin Gordon, fantasy managers around the world asking, why did Melvin Gordon get benched? And by the way, Melvin Gordon didn't know either. Here, listen to him after the game.
Coach tell you at halftime that you wouldn't be a part of the offense in the second half?
No one mentioned anything to me.
So when you're on the sideline, kind of, are you just clueless?
Pretty much.
What are you thinking in that moment?
Just waiting for my number to get called so I can go out there and help my teammates. You know, it was a close game. I felt like I could have helped make a difference. But, apparently not.
Heartbreaking stuff from Melvin Gordon.
Apparently not. You feel bad. Like, for those of you listening to the podcast, his face just felt like heartbroken. Like,
really,
you feel bad for Melvin Gordon. I feel bad for Melvin Gordon. I don't feel bad for listeners of the Fantasy Football Happy Hour podcast or watching the show on Peacock or on demand on the NFL on NBC YouTube channel, because we told you this was coming.
Yes.
We said 2 weeks ago, hey, Latavius Murray, pick him up. This is, I think there's a chance that Latavius Murray takes this backfield over. Yesterday, when we did the Monday Night Football props, I took the under on Melvin Gordon total yards from scrimmage, which I won by a wide mile as well.
Never in doubt.
And one of the reasons I was at is that, hey, I think Latavius Murray is going to get a lot of work in this game, right? You know, you'll see some Mike Boone. We'll get into running back waivers a little bit later in the show, and we'll talk about where you pick up Murray. But the fact of the matter is that every early down snap in the second half basically went to Latavius Murray.
I wouldn't be dropping Melvin Gordon just because there's lack of clarity, one bad game. Also, if this continues, he's not going to be the third string running back on the Broncos in week 14. That's not how this works. He'll get traded. He'll get cut. Someone else will pick him up. Maybe someone who needs a running back and he can provide value there. So I think you just have to grit and bear it with Melvin Gordon on your bench for now.
Yeah, if you see, here's some tweets that Melvin Gordon liked. Okay, so Melvin Gordon needs to request a trade tomorrow. The utter disrespect from Jay Wild, right? You know, PFF Steve, Melvin Gordon for Cam Akers, straight up. You know, Charles Woodson, damn, what did Melvin Gordon do to get no burn, right? And these are all tweets that Melvin Gordon liked on Twitter.
I suspect he's not long for Broncos country.
No,
but
let's ride out of town.
Yeah, exactly, to the Rams.
Yeah.
One guy who might be sticking around, though, is Greg Dulcich, who was a story last night with 2 receptions, 44 yards, gets the touchdown, great touchdown catch. Is he someone who's going to be startable going forward?
I think he's a high-end tight end, too. 71% of the offensive snaps, very encouraging. He ran routes on 79% of Wilson's dropbacks, 11% target share in a low-volume offense. But that was his first game. So just behind the curtain. So I was, as we talked about yesterday, Jay, you and I played each other in our show league. Don't get me started on this dumb league. But we're 14-team. It's a 14-team league. And I had Hawkinson on a bye. And so, and I had Dalton Schultz, who was a late scratch.
I really wasn't on
the injury report all week long. And then we get into Sunday Night Football and suddenly he's inactive. And I'm like, okay, great. So now I've got to go pick somebody up. And obviously, Gerald Everett is rostered in our league. Yep. So I had a choice between basically all the Broncos guys. And I picked up Albert Aquinbanam, who was then inactive.
Yes.
So I had a choice between Eric Saubert or Greg Dulcich last night. And I'm sitting there because I have nothing. And so I texted a Denver Broncos team source. And I said, what do you think? And they said, they love Dulcich. He's really athletic. Yep. But he literally hasn't practiced with the team since OTAs.
Yeah.
You know, Saubert probably has the better floor here. You know, and so I went with Saubert, who does nothing. Yeah. And, of course, Dulcich gets the touchdown. If there's a positive, my team was so decimated by injuries and bye weeks that it wouldn't have – even if I'd started Dulcich, I still would have lost to you.
You would have, but it would have created more stress on my
Monday night. It would
have created
more stress on your part, which I'm always about.
Yeah.
But what I would say is the positives here is that really athletic tight end that they like a lot, the fact that Albert O was a healthy scratch here gives you some confidence. Again, we're not even willing to start Jerry Jeudy in this offense, but because tight end is such a vast wasteland and that there's sort of this unknown around Dulcich, you know, and there's some positives here, makes me feel like when we get to tight end waivers, we'll talk about where we rank him. But ultimately, yeah, I think there's some tight end two upside to him as we see the easier part of their schedule coming forward. As we mentioned, Jets, Jags, and Titans are three of the next four games, including a bye for the Broncos.
Yep. I think your man Dwayne McFarland said it best on Twitter, where he said that Dulcich is talented and he's unknown. And unknown creates upside, creates variance. And in the desolate wasteland that is the tight end two kind of range, the land of Cole Kmet,
right?
Why not take a shot on Greg Dulcich just because of the talent? But let's jump into some NBC Roto World headlines. Let's start off with a man that you know very well. You wore a t-shirt last week saying, "Make Carson Wentz great again."
Well, I got to get a new t-shirt that says, I need a new t-shirt that says, "Make Carson Wentz whole again."
Yes, because he has a broken finger on his throwing hand. Yeah. We expect that he's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks. So firstly, yes. How does this affect the
statement,
Commanders' offense?
Statement from the Commanders out there was that, you know, that he'd fractured a finger, he's undergone successful surgery. But they just announced this, just in here, as expected, as I tweeted out yesterday. Taylor Heinicke, officially from the Commanders, I'm reading here an announcement. Taylor Heinicke will start at quarterback this Sunday versus Green Bay. Hashtag GB versus Washington, hashtag HTTC. Hail to the Commanders, hail victory. So Taylor Heinicke is your starting quarterback for your Washington Commanders.
Washington,
I know you love them.
I love myself some Commanders.
If there's a positive here, is that the offense is still fantasy friendly. Like, through 6 weeks in the NFL, even with that brutal Bears game last week, the Commanders are top six in the NFL in pass attempts per game. Like, they're throwing. We're throwing. Taylor Heinicke was a top 20 quarterback in fantasy points per game last year, and that was without Jahan Dotson, without Curtis Samuel, without Logan Thomas. Like, a much worse team last year, I think. So, look, Heinicke is a little bit inaccurate, but ultimately, I think he's a viable streamer if you're in a deep league, if you're in a two quarterback league or in a super flex league, and you're in a 12 team league. If you're looking here, look, Jalen Hurts is out this week. Matthew Stafford, Kirk Cousins, Josh Allen. Like, four quarterbacks, you know, other than Stafford, three quarterbacks that are very viable fantasy starters, and then Stafford, who's like a borderline starter, plus Wentz. Wentz, who's been a good fantasy quarterback this year, even though he hasn't been necessarily the most consistent NFL quarterback. So I do think, and again, we'll get into quarterback waivers here in a little bit, but I think Heinicke is a viable, he's a good enough backup that I think he's a viable streamer in the right matchup, Jay. And I also think, to the extent that you care for your pass catchers, Terry McLaurin, Curtis Samuel, he is good enough to be able to get the ball to those guys.
Yep. He's shown that he can put up garbage time yards. Terry McLaurin last year was wide receiver 25. I think if he could be wide receiver 25 going forward, that's a win based on what he's shown so far. The Commanders are 5.5 point dogs to the broken Green Bay Packers in Washington on Sunday, so expect that they'll be throwing. And we look at Terry McLaurin's stats with Taylor Heinicke in the 2021 season. He had 7-plus targets in 11 of the 16 games played, 11-plus in 4 of those games, 4 games with 90-plus receiving yards, and weeks 1 to 4, Terry McLaurin was wide receiver 6 in fantasy, putting up around 20 points per game.
Yeah, again, I mean, McLaurin was all they had last year because they didn't have Dotson. Samuel was hurt. So I don't expect him to get as much of a narrow target tree this year with the offense the Commanders are running, but certainly there's a connection there with Heinicke and McLaurin. McLaurin is still the number one wide receiver, so you're likely starting McLaurin this week against Green Bay. Let me put it this way. I don't think the change from Wentz to Heinicke would be a reason to bench McLaurin if you'd been planning on starting him this week. Same Definitely. With Curtis Samuel.
Okay, let's jump to the Cardinals. The news broke just after we got off air yesterday that they had acquired the much maligned Robbie Anderson from the Carolina Panthers, and Marquise Brown is reportedly out 6 weeks with a foot fracture, and we have a little sound from Cliff Kingsbury on that situation.
Was the Anderson trade a direct result of worrying that you weren't going to have Hollywood for long?
Yeah, I think so. Had an opportunity to get a guy, bring some speed and that dynamic that Hollywood has. So we'll kind of see where he fits in. And just for the long term, with guys getting hurt, we need some more wideouts in here.
Is there any realistic hope that Anderson could be available to play Sunday on
Thursday? Yeah, I would say so. We'll get him in, see what we can fit in once again. Without getting on the grass, actually going full speed, we want to make sure that he's confident when he's out there. So if he does play, it would be a limited package.
You're picking up Robbie Anderson.
What?
You're picking up Robbie Anderson?
No.
Okay. Done? No. Bye-bye, Robbie.
Here's the thing. So I did a video right after the news broke. And I did a selfie video. And I basically said, my take on this isn't that, suddenly Robbie Anderson, has a big jump in value. Although he does. I mean, I got to caveat this. There's a jump in value for Robbie Anderson just because he's leaving the blank show that is Carolina and the quarterback situation there. And he's going to Kyler Murray. Yep. Right? That's a better situation for any wide receiver. So there's an uptick, I suppose, in value for Robbie Anderson. Having said that, I'm not going to pick him out. Like, DeAndre Hopkins is back. And I said my assumption is this means Marquise Brown, who was spotted in a walking boot after the game, is more hurt than we thought. Suddenly, a bunch of different reports about an hour after I posted that came out. There was concern that Marquise Brown had suffered a season-ending injury. More tests revealed that it wasn't that severe, so great news there. But as you heard, probably 4 to 6 weeks there on Hollywood Brown. We'll see. Obviously, he's not going to play this Thursday night against the Saints. You heard the sound there from Cliff Kingsbury saying that if Robbie Anderson's active, it would be a small package of plays. Even with Hollywood Brown out, you've still got DeAndre Hopkins back. You've got Rondell Moore, who's getting a ton of touches. Zach Ertz is a big part of this passing attack. They use the running back in the passing game here. Could Robbie Anderson catch a long one for a touchdown 3 times the rest of the way? Sure, of course, and have a useful fantasy day. But the idea that where you need know where those games are coming, I don't know. The fact of the matter is that if this game against the Saints were 3 weeks from now, you might think about it just because you're like, the Saints can be beaten deep. We saw it with Chase last week. We've seen it with the Seahawks 2 weeks ago. You can throw deep on New Orleans. And so if Anderson's running a ton of snaps, but it's just such a narrow window here where he's probably going to get 10 snaps and you're hoping he gets deep for one of them on Thursday night against the Saints. I'm not rushing to pick up Robbie Anderson. It's a better NFL move for the Cardinals than it is for fantasy managers.
Yeah, and look, last year Kyler Murray threw the ball deep almost as much as anyone. I think it was 15% of his passes went 20 yards downfield or more. And you just think all right, well, Kyler Anderson throwing deep, Robbie Anderson, a deep threat. But also you have to factor in that Robbie Anderson isn't that good at the moment. And also just because he's going to be running deep, if they signed DeSean Jackson, DeSean Jackson's a deep threat. Doesn't mean you're rushing to pick up DeSean Jackson. So I do think that with DeAndre Hopkins coming back, yes, Marquise Brown, who has more targets this year than Justin Jefferson or Ja'Marr Chase, those targets have to get reallocated somewhere, but it's going to go to Hopkins. It's going to go to a guy we're going to talk about in Rondale Moore as well. There are a lot of bodies on that team. So let's jump in now to wide receiver waiver wire. And let's start off by talking about Cardinals wide receiver Rondale Moore, and who might be an interesting pickup with all these big names who are on bye: Stephon Diggs, Cooper Kupp, Justin Jefferson, AJ Brown, Gabe Davis, Devonta Smith, and Adam Thielen. They're all on bye, so Rondale Moore might look a bit more appealing.
Right. So you've got all those huge names, and no Marquise Brown this week. Who, by the way, the fifth best wide receiver in fantasy so far this year, seventh in a points per game basis. So a lot of, you know, there's like something like eight top 25 fantasy wide receivers out this week. It is Bye-mageddon here in week number seven. And so I'll just mention Darnell Mooney, who has put back-to-back useful games together for a Bears offense that's starting to, you know, look a little bit better. You know, he had 12 targets last week, so feels like starting to get worth seeing if he's out there in your league. He's just right around. We try to do it over 50% available in Yahoo leagues. He's right around that scenario. If Darnell Mooney is out there based on the talent and the recent volume that he's getting, he's probably your most likely guy to pick up this week as the Bears are at New England on Monday night. If he's not there, Rondale Moore, who you just mentioned, back-to-back games with six or more receptions, 23 targets in three games this season. He had 10 last week. He's basically taking the role that the human Dortch, Greg Dortch, had earlier in the season. And now with Marquise Brown and all of his targets, massive amount of targets, as you referenced, the seventh most targets among all wide receivers, Marquise Brown, that needs to be reallocated for somewhere. Rondale Moore is somebody they are really excited about. They talked about it in the offseason. Kingsbury mentioned they want to get him more involved this year. Second year in the NFL for Rondale Moore, who played 99% of the offensive snaps last week. Arizona, of course, at home to New Orleans on Thursday night. I think Moore is absolutely a must-add. We've been talking about him, I feel like, for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, we have. And DeAndre Hopkins last year, he didn't get to 90 receiving yards once. He didn't have more than seven receptions in a game once. Like, you think of DeAndre Hopkins and you think of, you know, the superstar with Deshaun Watson, but he's not that guy anymore. And unless he shows that last year he's carrying something and now he's all better, I wouldn't be trusting him in this offense necessarily.
Down the stretch last year, DeAndre Hopkins wasn't a volume guy, which is what he was in Houston. It's what he was the first, you know, when he first initially got to Arizona. Last year down the stretch, he was basically touchdown dependent. Now, he's still one of the best wide receivers in the NFL. They still scored at a high rate. He caught a lot of touchdowns,
yep.
So you didn't notice. But the fact of the matter is the efficiency wasn't there. The volume wasn't there. I don't think you could get a line on this or get a bet down. But who leads the Cardinals in targets over the next 6 weeks, Rondale Moore or DeAndre Hopkins? My guess is Hopkins would be the favorite, and I would take the Rondale Moore bet in a heartbeat.
It's a very niche Matthew Berry kind of bet. I like it. Don't mind it. Maybe BetMGM can price it up for us.
Yeah.
I do think I would also make a bet that probably at the odds given that Rondale Moore is the wide receiver one rest of season for the Cardinals over DeAndre Hopkins, because Marquise Brown is going to be out those 6 weeks. Just quickly before we move on, with Darnell Mooney, just harkening back to that, the first 2 weeks, he was completely anonymous. He was basically Albert O last night when Albert O didn't play.
Yeah.
He did nothing. But those games in a monsoon against San Francisco, against the Packers where Justin Fields had 11 pass attempts. So I do think that the past 4 weeks are more indicative. And he's basically produced at that wide receiver 30 type of level where he was drafted. But let's jump into Giants receiver Wandale Robinson, who suddenly is looking like wide receiver one for the Giants.
Yeah, we talked about Wandale Robinson in the preseason. He made my preseason love list. Peter King came on the Roto-World Draft Guide show. And Peter King, of course, the great NFL reporter for us here at at NBC, formerly from Sports Illustrated. And Peter King does his tour every year of all the training camps. And, you know, Peter knows everyone. If Peter King doesn't know you, then you aren't anyone in the NFL. And so he said, you know, after spending time at Giants camp and talking to people around the Giants, they're very excited. He said, like, draft Wandale Robinson in the last round of your draft and thank me later. They're very excited about Wandale Robinson. Remember, new regime in New York. They spent a second-round pick on Robinson. He's the one guy that's in that receiving core that was, hand-picked by Daboll and his staff as well in the entire front office there. So last week, his first game back, he had four targets. But, like, I think he was only out there for 15 snaps. Like, he got four targets in 15 snaps, 3 for 37. He scores the touchdown. He was targeted on 36% of his routes with a 9.3 average depth of target. You know, Daboll said, you know, we want to get more snaps for him as well. Jacksonville, Seattle, bye, Houston. That's the next four for the New York Giants, who have been a more functional offense than I think anyone gave them credit for. And they've done it without really anyone other than Saquon Barkley. It's been you know, smoke and mirrors here with, you know, Daniel Bellinger and, like, you know, and, you know, all these guys that, like, you're just sort of like, who? Wait, yeah. let me look at I'm trying to remember, you know, wait, who's that guy? Wait, you know. So anyway, with Galladay out and Tony unavailable, and yeah, I think Wando Robinson needs to be rostered in a lot more leagues. He's 92% available. Really like his prospects going forward.
Yep. There's a lot of people watching or listening right now who are just thinking to themselves, does Peter King know who I am? Oh, he doesn't? No, I'm a no one.
Yeah, if you're in the NFL, then yeah, absolutely right. I mean, just like real quickly, just to finish up on Wando Robinson, like, listen, like, you've got Richie James and, you know, David Sills. You know, I mean, Darius Slayton's had a couple of moments here, but honestly, like, it's going to be the Wando Robinson show sooner rather than later in New York. Get on board now.
Yep. Okay, another popular name, and I think it's going to be a popular pickup, is Alec Pierce, who's 61% available. Catches the game-winning touchdown against your Jacksonville Jaguars after a week where he lit up the Broncos because Michael Pittman got the Pat Surtain treatment.
Yeah, I mean, Paris Campbell actually got, you know, had the better game than Pierce in this one. But to your point, three straight games with 12 or more fantasy points for Pierce. It's a good match with the Titans, who allow the second most yards per game to opposing wide receivers. And so Alec Pierce, who is somebody that came into the league with, you know, a lot of hype out of Cincinnati. People really like him as well. I mean, I will say that Paris Campbell, who's also out there in a bunch of leagues, you know, really interesting with the 11 targets and the touchdown last week, 7 for 57. I mean, we don't expect Matt Ryan to throw it like 60 times. He threw it almost 60 times last week. But yes, it's a good matchup against the Tennessee Titans. And Pierce has had more sustained success fantasy-wise than Paris Campbell. But I think both guys, for deeper leagues, if you're desperate, again, 8 top 25 wide receivers out this week. You know, Alec Pierce and Paris Campbell in that order are probably pretty interesting this week.
Yeah, Paris Campbell was a second-round pick only 3 years ago. He's got the pedigree, and I think Ryan, who we all thought was done, particularly after that, feels like Russell Wilson and Matt Ryan are, like, inextricably tied at the hip forever,
yeah, right?
After what they subjected to us on that Thursday night game. But God. Ryan showed an upside against the Jags that I didn't think that he had anymore. And all of a sudden, it makes a lot of people on that offense more viable, like Paris Campbell and Alec Pierce. Let's jump into the next guy, who's been something of an afterthought, which is Chase Claypool, who's available in 59% of leagues. He was the wide receiver MVP in that game against the Bucs. Everyone's talking about, obviously, Deontay Johnson, George Pickens, but he was the guy. Are you buying into any of the Chase Claypool hype?
A little bit. 7 for 96 and a touchdown on a 27% target share last week. 16 targets over his past two games. What else has happened over the last two games? No Pat Freiermuth.
Yep.
For the Pittsburgh Steelers. And so I believe as long as Freiermuth is out, and we will see. Worth noting, the Steelers play on Monday. They play Sunday night. So we'll have a little bit of – they play on Sunday night against the Dolphins right here on NBC and Peacock. Of course, I'm a company man Sunday night. So I do think that if Freiermuth is out, and it feels like he's, you know, he's been in this concussion protocol for a while, and it feels like the NFL, given all the concerns around concussions and the discussions around it, you know, every team is being super cautious with rushing their players back from the concussion protocol. So under the assumption that Freiermuth misses again this week, Claypool in the middle of the field, especially that's where you attack the Dolphins because their corner play is so good. Yeah, he becomes interesting. He's available in almost 60% of Yahoo leagues.
Yep. Still think it's clearly Deontay 1, Pickens 2, Claypool 3.
100% agree.
And
but as long as Freiermuth is out,
yep,
he is viable.
Yep, definitely. Okay. Name that I didn't think we were talking about is Tyquan Thornton of the Pats, who got involved in the running game as well as through the air against Cleveland. He's available in 98% of leagues. He was 4 for 37 with a touchdown through the air, got the 3 carries as well. Any interest in Tyquan Thornton in deep leagues?
Yeah, I mean, just because you think about Kendrick Bourne, who's dealing with that turf toe, Nelson Agholor and Bourne have both been rumored to be in trade talks for the Patriots, and Thornton, who had a huge preseason, he didn't play a ton of snaps in this one, but obviously getting the 2 touchdowns, 1 rushing, 1 receiving, raises a lot of eyebrows. This offense, like the New England Patriots going into Cleveland and putting up the kind of numbers they did,
yeah,
under Bailey Zappi, you know, don't worry, get Zappi. I you know, we'll see if Mac Jones makes it back this week, but I wonder if, like, They haven't come out and said, like, oh, Zappi's taking over the job from Jones, because I know they really like Jones, right? But I wonder if they're like, no, Mac, take your time. No, let's make sure you're 100% right. No, I feel good. No, Mac, it feels like he's still limping a little bit. Let's, you know, so I just wonder, they play the Bears. Not a great matchup on Monday night, for the Patriots offense.
Aesthetically as well.
Certainly aesthetically as well. But I think he's more of a deep league ad. He's not somebody that I would be rushing to start until we know, has the Patriots offense turned the corner and they're going to be more at least balanced as opposed to pass heavy the way they were against Cleveland, right? You know, so because mostly they've been a run first offense. But yeah, listen, if he starts again and has a big name, we're going to change the name of the show. Fantasy Football Zappy Hour.
Oh, that's bad. That's real bad. Okay, I do think that with the way that they're running the ball, with the run blocking, how Ramondre Stevenson is playing, even when Mac Jones comes back, I don't think that they can support three wide receivers to be fantasy relevant. And you want Jacoby Myers. Devontae Parker's coming on a little bit. Signs of life from Devontae Parker. So unless one of those two guys goes down, I don't think that Tyquan Thornton is going to be a thing. But certainly if one of them does, then he has some upside. But let's turn to some potential drops. A guy that we briefly mentioned yesterday is Elijah Moore of the Jets, who's 62% rostered. The suddenly run-heavy, excellent New York Jets. Is he a drop?
They're constantly playing with a lead. You know what I mean? Like, here's what I would say. If you're speaking of drops, Elijah Moore has none. And you know why he has none?
He's not any targets.
Yeah, you can't drop something you don't have.
Exactly. Like,
exactly. I mean, the one way, if you want to solve your drops issues, don't throw me the ball. There you go. I also have no drops in the NFL. this year. Yeah, zero targets in week number 6 on the season. He's wide receiver 82. I wouldn't drop Elijah Moore yet in a dynasty league. I still believe in this kid's talent, but at the moment it feels like they're sort of hiding Zach Wilson a little bit. They're going to try to win games by running the ball well, controlling the clock, and playing good defense, which sounds a lot like, oh, I don't know, San Francisco.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, and by the way, it's working for the Jets. So Elijah Moore, who's rostered in 62% of leagues, welcome to Dumpsville, population U. And also Robert Woods, who's had 0 games with more than 4 catches this year, under 40 in 4 out of 5 games this year. He's rostered in over 60% of leagues as well. Other than Derrick Henry, there's not really a Titan that you want.
There's not. And just quickly on Elijah Moore, I mean, we talked about Austin Eckler being RB1, and people are going to think that, you know, they're not going to take it seriously because I'm a Jets fan, diehard Jets fan. But I think Breece Hall has a chance to get into that conversation with Saquon, with Austin Eckler. Like, he's been that good the past few weeks. Wouldn't put him quite in that tier, but that just goes to speak to the fact that there's no Jets pass catcher that you want at the moment. We're going to talk about running backs when we get back on the waiver wire. Some big, big names. Dontrell Hilliard, I think, is going to feature.
Listen, the Rams want to get rid of Cam Akers, but should you? The answer to that question and so much more when we come back. CJ, that's what's called a tease in the business. That's a tease.
Good one.
I just tease the audience like a broadcast professional.
Professional.
And I do think Latavius Murray is interesting. I think, look, Gordon was fine last week, but down the stretch against the Colts when they were trying to make that comeback, it was Boone on the field, not Gordon. If you need a flex play for this week, Boone's the guy. If you sort of want to swing for the fences a little bit more, I think Murray is a guy that's interesting to roster because you're not starting him this week, but I could see him overtaking Melvin Gordon's role at some point this season.
There you go. Matthew Berry in red giving out Latavius
Murray.
That
was literally last week's, a week ago's waiver show after the Monday night game and Mahomes, you know, had the monster game on Monday night. I wore Mahomes jersey for the Monday night miracle. We talked about picking up Latavius Murray a week ago.
Yes.
And, you know, listen, I know I'm smart.
Here we go.
But sometimes even I'm amazed at how smart I am. Because I thought, Latavius Murray, he'll probably take it over in like 2 or 3 weeks. And yet he does, like, literally first game out. So it's just like, you know, it's the Nick Cage movie, the unbearable weight of genius. What's the name of the exact movie? The Nick Cage movie that just came out.
I lost track of Nick Cage's filmography after...
The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent is the name of Nick Cage's movie, and it's a little bit the story of my life. The Unbearable Weight of... Right. It's the Unbearable Weight of Always Being Right.
The Prescient Man in Red.
Right. This is the Unbearable Weight of Being So Smart. Right? Because it's like, a lot of times I just wish people would take me for my looks. You know, that they would just say, like, listen, you know, I just want to walk in and just, like, be admired for the piece of meat that I am. You know?
I think that's another Nick Cage movie,
like,
the piece of meat
like,
that
you know,
I am.
Like, I wear stuff like this, and it's just like, okay, Barry, another thirst trap, and yeah, you're damn right, another thirst trap. But then people want to talk to me and get into my brain, and I can't handle it. It's, oh, God, I'm sorry. I'm so smart.
God. You pro Nick Cage?
What?
You pro Nick Cage?
100%. Yes. You're not?
No, I'm 100% pro Nick Cage.
Nick Cage is the best.
He's the best.
Love Nick. Who doesn't love Nick Cage?
Yeah. No friend of mine.
No friend of yours.
Yeah. You know who else is the best?
Right.
Deion Jackson.
Another guy that we talked about.
Yeah.
Another guy that we talked about. Again, why am I so smart? It's not fair. It's not fair. It's this massive weight on my shoulders because my brain is so large.
Oh, boy. All right.
Anyway, Deion Jackson, we talked about him on Fantasy Football pregame on Sunday morning. I tweeted it out as soon as the news came out that Jonathan Taylor would not be available for last week's game against the Swagwars. And so I said, you know, listen, a lot of people are talking, well, what about Philip Lindsay? And I said, no, Deion Jackson is the guy that is going to get the majority of the work here. Now, he left this game in the fourth quarter with a quad injury and did not return. But 17 touches and 90 total yards in both games, 14 combined receptions. He had an 18% target share in week 6. That's the highest by a Colts running back this season, i.e., he's had a higher target share than Jonathan Taylor has at any point this season. He's a true three-down back. Now, obviously, Jay, if Jonathan Taylor returns for the Colts this week, Deion Jackson goes back to fantasy irrelevance. But, however, if I may, one moment, I think he is worthy of a roster spot because he has proven in a big win for the Colts. Some might argue a season-saving season for the Colts in a divisional win against the Jaguars, a game they needed.
Yep.
Deion Jackson stepped up in a massive, massive way. Hines, even though he'll come back from the concussion protocol, he is like, again, he's that third down back. He's a passing down back. If anything happens to Taylor, who's dealing with the ankle injury right now, who's dealt with injuries previously in his past, Deion Jackson is a very valuable insurance running back to roster.
Yep. We need Mike Ryan in here, but I feel like that ankle sprains can certainly linger. They can get re-aggravated.
Yes.
It would also be nice if Frank Reich used Jonathan Taylor in the passing game, maybe. Like, he used Deion Jackson. Maybe that'll trigger something. Because I feel like there's some upside there that would make Jonathan Taylor the greatest fantasy running back ever.
But when you think about the fact that we don't know the status as of this broadcast on Tuesday afternoon at one at like whatever it is, 12:43, we don't know the status of Jonathan Taylor. We know that Dalvin Cook's not playing. We know that Miles Sanders is not playing. We know that Devin Singletary and Daryl Henderson aren't playing this week. Feel pretty good about the fact that Cam Akers ain't playing this week.
Like,
So there are some running backs that you might very well need a running back. We don't know the status of James Conner yet either on Thursday night.
No, we don't. Let's jump into a couple of those running backs who will be playing and are very available in leagues. The Baltimore backfield. So Kenyon Drake is 95% available. Gus Edwards is 85% available. Feels like Cleveland should have a better rushing defense than they do, but they haven't. They've been run on all year. Are you picking up either of these guys?
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. Yes, it's a pretty thin waiver wire, right? I mean, like, I honestly, I'd probably, if I had to pick up a running back this week, I'm probably picking up Deion Jackson and either holding on to him, hoping that Taylor doesn't play, or then trying to flip him to whoever has Taylor in your league for a useful piece, which might be more useful than some of the other guys that we're talking about here. Kenyon Drake, 10 for 119 and a touchdown. He caught one ball for 8 yards. After having weeks of being a healthy scratch, like just came out of nowhere, J.K. Dobbins gets banged up. We'll hopefully get more information on Dobbins and if the injury is serious or if it was just sort of re-aggravation in the middle of that game here. But Gus Edwards, who is getting close to return according to Coach Jim Harbaugh, has been productive when he's gotten run. He's a north-south runner. He's not involved in the passing game. That would be Drake. I think both guys are flex plays. And if Dobbins active, like, you know, feels like it'll be Dobbins and Gus Edwards, I think the Ravens backfield will be productive. Which guy in that backfield will be productive?
I don't feel
as confident. And this is me with my galaxy brain. This is me with the unbearable weight. So if I can't figure it out, what hope do any of you mortals have?
It is crazy that, firstly, this whole spiel is crazy. The second thing that's crazy is that Baltimore and Kansas City have two of the best offenses in the NFL.
Yes,
and there's four guys across those two teams that you're comfortable starting, the quarterbacks and the two tight ends, the superstar tight ends. Everyone else is you feel uneasy about. Another guy that I would feel uneasy about, but he's on this list, is Dontrell Hilliard, who is 88% available, probably for a reason. He's playing the Colts. Any interest in a Dontrell Hilliard pickup?
Well, certainly, I think he needs to be rostered in 100% of leagues because he's been productive when he's gotten an opportunity, and he's backing up Derrick Henry.
Yep.
If anything were to happen to King Henry, you'd want Dontrell Hilliard there. He's had multiple receptions now, three or more in three out of the four games so far this season. He's got three receiving touchdowns in five games as they were on the bye last week. And so Dontrell Hilliard, as you see here on the screen, his snap share has increased every game this season from 18 to 24 to 31 to 31 against last week against the Commanders. And so feels like he's kind of like he feels like he's carving out a little bit of a passing game role here. Just quickly, some stashes that won't be useful this week, but if you're in a deeper league and you just guys that might have value in the future is Kieran Williams. They really like him in Los Angeles. And Dante Foreman, who if Chris McCaffrey gets moved on, Foreman over Hubbard would be my choice for the Panthers' backfield.
Yep.
Let's move on to some guys that are worth dropping here. Welcome to Dunsville Population U.
Yeah.
Jay Croucher.
Yeah, thank you. Cam Akers. I think we can pretty safely drop Cam Akers across the board because the whole thing with Cam Akers and his value was that Sean McVay was inexplicably giving him the ball so much. Presumably, his next stop won't be force-feeding Cam Akers for his 2.7 yards per carry.
He's averaging under 5 fantasy points a game for the first 5 weeks of the season. Healthy scratch last week. Yes. Cam Akers should not be rostered in fantasy.
Chase Edmonds.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, he hasn't seen more than 7 touches in a game since week one. He leapfrogged Myles Gaskin last week. Like, Gaskin had played before the week before. Gaskin was a healthy scratch last week. But 4 straight games with under 35 total yards. He's really only there as Mostert insurance, unfortunately. I don't have a problem in a 10-team league dropping Chase Edmonds or even in a 12-team league if you need the roster space.
Yeah, I do think that just because of Mostert's injury history that there is some upside there if you do stash him, kind of like a Dontrell Hilliard. But Michael Carter, another guy who was startable as a flex in week one, but now Breece Hall's taken over that backfield. He's the guy. Are you dropping Michael Carter?
Yeah, I don't mind it. Again, same thing, that if anything were to happen to Breece Hall, he's really just an insurance running back, but 7 touches last week. Like, 7 touches. He's now had under 50 yards from scrimmage in 4 straight games. He had the 2 touchdown game, which was super fluky 2 weeks ago because Breece Hall got it all the way down to the 1 and then needed a breather. I don't think you can account on that from a week-to-week basis. This is clearly Breece Hall's backfield. I have no problem dropping Michael Carter if you need the roster space.
Yeah, I think there was the thought that maybe he could still provide value next to Breece Hall, but at the same time now, if he's not getting those touches, there's no value unless Breece Hall goes down.
There is no value unless Breece Hall goes down. There is value in sticking around, however. That's how you do a segue, Jay Croucher. Coming up next, no Jalen Hurts, no Kirk Cousins, no Matthew Stafford. That might be a good thing. No Josh Allen. You probably need a quarterback in week 7. When you come back, we will tell you who to grab.
Magnificent segue. I'm just, 10 out of 9.
I have an unbearable, massive weight of being a talented host as well. Like, it's... I don't think you understand the pressure I'm under.
Very interesting, Matthew. You're so on board with Saquon taking that knee when we're playing each other in fantasy this week, and I've got Saquon Barkley on my team. So I think a little bit of subjective bias there.
Factually correct, by the way. And Gallup not showing up last night. I think you're going to ultimately end up winning. I don't know if you heard this, but so it's a 14-team, 2 quarterback league that Jay and I are playing in with all the show
staff.
I'm in it. Oh, you're in that
league? Yes.
Okay, it's 14 teams. I wasn't told to learn everyone's names. 14 teams. I can't possibly be expected to learn everyone's name.
You know, Connor Rogers. He hosts the show sometimes.
Connor Rogers, yeah. Well, by the way, like, you have to go to the scoreboards. Here's my nifty team here, as you see. Like, I mean, you see, like, I had to start, you know, Saubert, and I got 0 out of him. But understand, so it's a 14-team league, and, like, I lost Dak Prescott. I also, as you see there, I drafted Kyle Pitts. So it's been pretty tough. And I had a bunch of guys on bye last week as well.
The excuses hour with Matthew Berry.
I'm just telling you that there's a reason why your crappy team beat mine.
The Collingwood Magpies.
My crappy team. By the way, turns out Connor's in the league and doing well. Yes, he's 5-1.
Yeah. We're both 2-4, so we can't see him from all the way up there.
But look at this.
5-1.
Look at my points against, though. If you look at my points against there at number 9. Like, I'm like,
what do you mean? Look at my points against. I've had 786. Everyone's destroying me. It's like I'm playing.
Yeah, people get up for you. People don't like you. You're the heel. You're the turn. Right? I mean, but anyway, so I'm 2-4. Losing Dak in a 14-team, 2 quarterback league was just an absolute killer for me. I mean, guys, I'd start Bailey Zappi yesterday.
Bailey Zappi outperformed Tom Brady.
Yes,
and Lamar
he did. Jackson. Yeah, that's because I'm smart. Like, I was able to sift through the dirt to find diamonds because of my massive brain. But do you understand? Anyway,
it's, let's talk about more of those diamonds in the quarterback.
Here's the thing. Here's what's great.
Rough.
A lot of football left to play, and I'm coming. I'm coming for all you animals in this dumb league.
Yeah, like, from two and four down. You got them right where you want them.
Right.
You're like the Niners last year.
I got Dak coming back this week. Here starts the greatest comeback in fantasy football happy hour history.
Right.
We'll see.
Well, let's talk about some quarterbacks that won't be there this week. You mentioned the names. Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts. Are they any good? Kirk Cousins, Matthew Stafford.
So three top 10 quarterbacks and Matthew Stafford not available this week as well. We'll find out. We expect Tua to be back. We'll find out the status of that. Mike Tomlin saying Kenny Pickett in the concussion protocol. We'll figure out who's starting for the Steelers later this week as well. But let's get into this as well. So I think Matt Ryan is available in 72% of leagues. Believe it or not, Matt Ryan.
He's back.
You know, 400-year-old Matt Ryan leads the NFL in pass attempts with over 42 a game. Titans allow the 287 passing yards per game. That is the most in the NFL. He's a viable streamer this week. They get the Commanders next as well, Colts do. So Titans, then Commanders, two good matchups for Matt Ryan.
Yeah, showed a ceiling that we didn't think that he would have had. And also I think that with Taylor coming back off the injury, I don't think they're going to run Jonathan Taylor 30 times. And I think that with Alec Pierce and Michael Pittman there is enough talent to support Matt Ryan in the passing game. Now, Jimmy G, who's not always been the friendliest fantasy quarterback, but he's throwing the ball more. And the thing that I like with Jimmy G is that Deebo Samuel's not running the ball at the moment. He's had six carries the past 3 weeks, seven receptions for Deebo this week. And I think that with Deebo in the passing game more, it makes Jimmy a lot more viable as a fantasy quarterback.
He's attractive in real life. He's not always attractive as a fantasy quarterback. But the last 2 weeks, 18 or more fantasy points in back-to-back weeks, and now he gets the Chiefs as teams that face Kansas City are averaging over 40 pass attempts a game. Makes sense. Obviously, the Chiefs put up a lot of points. You have to throw to keep up. I do think Garoppolo, available in over 60% of Yahoo leagues, is a reasonable QB2 this week. Finally, Marcus Mariota for me. Back-to-back games with 17 or more fantasy points. It's not always pretty. You know, he's running a lot. He's not throwing to my Kyle Pitts, which is one of the reasons that team is 2-4. But still ahead of you in the standings, I think, worth noting. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you beat me and you're still in 11th. I just want to point that out.
I don't like that.
I just want to point that out, because as bad as that team has done, it's still at least better than yours. Anyway, I do think Mariota, you know, who has at least 60 yards or a touchdown in 4 out of 6 games so far this year, could be a streamer if Ryan and Garoppolo are out this week.
Yep. Mariota's schedule at Cincinnati, home to Carolina. You like that. Chargers at home and then at Carolina again. I do think, though, that Arthur Smith, those games should be close enough where Arthur Smith can run the ball and go full Arthur Smith still. But Mariota's still been able to put up okay fantasy value even with
just
that.
Don't watch the games.
Don't watch the games.
Because the games
They're
will
brutal.
Drive you crazy.
They are brutal.
They are brutal.
We talked about Taylor Heinicke, your man. Make Taylor Heinicke great again.
Yeah.
You're streaming him against Green Bay.
Again, if the first three guys I just mentioned are gone, I needed for a quarterback, I think he's kind of interesting here. By the way, if Bailey Zappe is named the starter again, I don't mind him at home against the Bears.
Yep.
Bears have a good defense, but so do the Browns. And, you know, welcome to Zappe Hour. But of those quarterbacks, I would have Zappe after Heinicke. I do think Heinicke is viable. When we come back, let's talk some tight ends.
Through the gritty. Mike Gesicki.
Yes.
Mention.
And by us doing the gritty, I mean you will do the gritty.
With Mike Gesicki, and here it comes. Doing the gritty. A better pass catcher in the NFL than the dancer. So ridiculous. I ain't going to lie. This ain't it. Skull emoji from Jamar Chase.
Yeah.
With the tweet. What is this? This is unbelievable. Mike Gesicki says, I promise I'm done. I'll leave it up to the professionals for sure. Which is a good way to put it.
Yeah, but by the way, as long as Mike Gesicki is scoring touchdowns, dance your bad dances all you want. All you want, Mike Gesicki. Don't let Jamar Chase shame you into not doing your crappy gritty. Greg Dulcich. We talked about him at the top of the show, but 244 and a touchdown. Ran 71% of the offensive snaps. I'm sorry, he ran a route on 79% of Wilson's dropbacks, played on 71% of the offensive snaps. Kind of interesting athletic guy here. Like, it's slim pickings at the tight end position.
Yep, why not? And then Hunter Henry's shown some signs of life. interested in streaming him this week against Chicago.
Back-to-back games with 50 or more yards, three straight games with a 20% target share, and that's in a game last week where Jonnu Smith was active and he scored the big touchdown, but does feel like Henry has sort of separated himself from Jonnu Smith. And so I think he's kind of interesting. And then we just mentioned Gesicki as well. Look, Durham Smythe was inactive last week, so I want to track his status as well because he had a season high in snap share, target share, route participation. He had the two end zone targets. If Smythe is out there who's played over 50% of the snaps, then maybe you're less optimistic about Gesicki. But it's worth noting as well. Listen, Jay, you don't have to go home, but you got to get the hell out of here just like everyone else because it is closing time. We're back tomorrow. Good luck on waivers tonight. For Jay Croucher, I am Matthew Berry. Thank you from everyone on the Fantasy Football Happy Hour staff. Peace out.